Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to Third Pillar, Patriot Gardens.
This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war.
Good evening, patriots. Tonight's Thursday, September 23rd, and we're still alive. We haven't yet been taken over by the communists. And the jab is still away from your front door. Those are good things. And boy, do we have some stuff to talk about tonight. We'll do a little bit of headline news, and then we'll jump into one of my favorite topics, which is Patriot Gardens and how to help destroy the corporate gridlock on poisonous food, which is what we're all about. Right off the top, Expedition Coffee is the co-branded or the branded coffee of Expedition Cafe and of Bards FM. You can find that coffee at bardsfm.com/coffee, or you can go to expeditioncoffee.com. That's XPED. Expedition Coffee was designed and engineered to be a health coffee, meaning it still has caffeine, still gives you that nice little boost, but it will not deplete the minerals in your body. It enhances your immune system and is designed to be part of a bigger health ecosystem, which we'll be rolling out very soon. This was also part of the development that Dr. Eric Naputi was directly involved in with one of his labs, and I'm very honored to have been offered the opportunity to have an exclusive brand with him. So Expedition Coffee is really, to me, it's become my soul coffee. And from a guy who drinks would drink a ton of coffee, like 4 quad shots a day, no exaggeration. Expedition Coffee has become a one cup a day experience that has continued. It just continues to impress me. I feel good. I don't feel depleted. I don't get those peaks and valleys that come from caffeine, and it keeps me mentally focused through the day. So it's an excellent coffee. Those of you that were at Bard's Fest know that you had an opportunity to taste it. All I've heard is rave reviews. So get on over to bardsfm.com/coffee or go directly to Expedition, that's XPED, expeditioncoffee.com, and get your order in today. Expedition Coffee comes in it's a powdered form. It's an instant coffee, tastes amazing, and has 30 servings per container. It's awesome. Also, Mike Lindell, MyPillow, one of the greatest CEO patriots in our history. If we had 300 of him, we would be doing much better, but we don't. But we have him, and he continues to fight and fund the Patriot efforts to uncover election fraud and keep patriots going. So head on over to MyPillow.com. They have some amazing sales on right now, amazing. One of those are the towel sets, which are now, instead of $109.99, they're $39.99 with your promo code BARDS, B-A-R-D-S, B-A-R-D-S. And you can get some amazing towel sets. They have amazing sheets. I love their Giza sheets. Their pillows are outstanding. Their slippers are crazy comfortable. And their towels are like awesome. So I haven't tried their doggy bed because I don't have a dog. But I hear from reports of dog owners, they say the dogs love their doggy beds. And they have so many other things. They've got pajamas. They've got mattresses. Oh, they have comforters too. I have a comforter from them. It's awesome. So I encourage you to, this is a great time, by the way, to buy Christmas gifts. Everything's on sale, and they've got some great products. It's a great company, great CEO, has Christ in his heart. You can't get much better than that. Use your promo code BARDS, or if you feel inclined to want to talk to a human being, 800-975-2939, 800-975-2939. That's where you'll get one of the MyPillow Patriot counselors that'll advise you on exactly what you need to get a great night's sleep and never have to go to a psychiatrist again, which I hope you don't go to psychiatrists. I really do. But anyway. There you go. Okay. On other news, just some top things. Tonight, I did my first show in 2 weeks, but on Brighteon TV. Now, that show is going to be a weekly show now. It's a live stream show with video, and I kind of focus on more of the news topics. One show a week, 5 p.m. Eastern to 6 p.m. Eastern. There's about a minute introduction and then two 22-minute blocks. So you can find tonight's show over there. It's posted on our Gab site as well. You can go on over there. That's another thing. Other big news in development. You know, last spring I talked all about building kind of the Bard's base camp. We had a lot of things fall through on that, which is just the way it happened. I'm not complaining. But I had bought the servers, or at least the servers, and I have all the server capacity. So I finally got a hold of the tech team that I really wanted to do the work, and got hold of them last night. We spoke for about an hour or so. And today I sent them the money, and the good news is that we are now in development of building a Bard's FM podcast that will be also live stream capable and have its own chat on our own secure servers. And I mean like mega secure. So I'm told that the first iteration of this will be ready for review in about 4 weeks. That tells me we'll probably roll it out in about 6 to 8. But I'll keep you posted. Super excited about this. It's all going to be part of some really big expansions you're going to see on the website. And we're also going to be live streaming within the next couple of weeks through Cloud Hub, which I'm excited about. And I promised this, and it's just finally getting caught up. Bard's Fest was just crazy busy, but we're also going to start doing 2 or 3 times a week just an open live stream on YouTube, and you'll see some ads on there and stuff that I'm doing, products that I support. But that's going to be an open live stream probably for an hour or 90 minutes or so people can come over there and hang out. So that's going to be coming in the next couple of weeks. We got some pretty cool stuff happening. And then look for some really neat expansions on the Bard store. I'm kind of expanding the product lines, as you know. I'm talking to some folks in Texas, or will be. They talked to me at Bard's Fest. I haven't responded yet, but they do all American-made goods, and we're going to be looking at developing the product line with them. And so that's going to be hats, T-shirts, the swag stuff. We're going to be introducing an expanded line like I keep hinting at, but I know now the timeline because the expanded line for the nutritional supplements along with the coffee will occur in about 2 weeks. The guys that are at the lab are at a conference in the next week or so, so they're not going to have time to work with me to expand the website, but that's going to happen. We'll have Dr. Eric Naputi on to help introduce that launch. And then we're also going to be introducing hyperbaric chambers. They're not cheap, but it's all part of this holistic health and co-op health that I'm going to be talking about on Monday, on how to break the back of the medical tyranny and medical cabal. Everything about county by county is designed to empower individual homes and communities to rupture the corporate mega giant. That's the idea. So if you really look at everything we're talking about, from, you know, the 7 pillars of county by county, every single pillar in the county by county is designed to empower the individual, empower the family, empower the house, but then build the connections in your community so that we build cooperative relationships within our community to ultimately drive the force of breaking the back of this corporate tyranny. Because I'm going to tell you, they can't exist without us. They just think they can. They think they can dictate. And this is the big wager that they're making right now. They're all in on trying to tell everybody what you need to do, thinking that people can't live without them. But that's not going to work. Andrew Torba, who you know I'm a big fan of, CEO of Gab, and we've not met face-to-face. I have had the pleasure of exchanging a couple emails with him. He is now promoting and pushing forward to create that economic marketplace through Gab where people of common mindset can exchange. So like that's another thing. I'm hoping next week, by tomorrow, I can get everything in. But probably next week, you'll start to see some ads on Gab from Bard's FM or Expedition Coffee, which would be pretty neat. I love the idea that they're doing that now with Patriot companies and Patriot accounts. And they're moving towards developing their alternative to PayPal. So there's going to be some pretty neat initiatives here. going on that as all you need is a couple places for people to go. So, you know, like I said, we're going to be building over the next 6 months or so the whole Bard's FM ecosystem, kind of Expedition Cafe FM ecosystem. By the way, Expedition Cafe is the company, just so you know, so you don't get confused. Bard's FM is the channel. But that ecosystem is going to grow on its own secure private servers, which will include its own store and a lot of other things. And then that's going to, we're going to link that in with stuff like Gab and other great initiatives on Cloud Hub. Cloud Hub is also working on some great initiatives. And by the way, the whole county by county architecture to start building out our county by county in real actual exit, you know, social media connection. I was just informed by the Cloud Hub team that they're just about ready to be able to roll it out. And that was their offering to support this initiative through Bard's FM of Cloud Hub. Our Cloud Hubs took the initiative to build the architecture. I sat down with Jeff Brain and his team at Bard's Fest, and they mapped out what we needed. So I just got the text actually two nights ago. And if you were at Bard's Fest, you saw Greenbeard there. He's pretty cool. So he let me know that that architecture is ready, or just about ready. And so I'll be talking to him tomorrow, and that's going to be another big push over the next couple months now to start getting everybody migrated from these, you know, cells we have over on Telegram. I read Telegram. I can't stand Telegram. Oh, I'll tell you right now, I don't like it, but that's what we have. I accept it. But this is so much better, so much better. Getting over to Cloud Hub, where there's going to be an ability for counties to develop groups and subgroups. It's really going to be very powerful. I'm very excited about it. And it's going to be a great hub to work with, because we can literally link 3,300 counties, and each one can have an individual identity. So that's very awesome. And that's thanks to Cloud Hub's effort. So that's coming. So a lot of great things happening right now. Really exciting stuff. And there'll be a lot of things to look forward to in the coming weeks, including, and if you haven't started already, getting your fall garden in. And it's a little bit late for some things, but it is time to make sure you get those seeds in the ground and get ready for your winter, your fall winter garden, which will carry you through into early spring. So let's talk a little bit about Patriot Gardens. You know, I'm passionate about this. I put in a lot of time in the spring in getting, in transforming my backyard from kind of just a, there was a big area where there was a lawn, and you know, my philosophy is kill your lawn, grow a garden. And it was already dead, so that was not a problem. But it took a lot of work. It's pretty hard pack. What you discover with under a lawn, if it's been there a while, is it literally has like a very shallow top surface of good soil, and underneath is usually, it just turns out to be trash. High compaction, very little tilth, and not very much nutrition or nutrient-based in the soil. So it takes a lot of building, takes a lot of import in one way or another, whether you're going to compost your own compost to add to it, or whether you're going to bring in compost to build it up. It takes a lot of work to build these soils up, but it's a necessary thing. Now, Patriot Gardens, as you know, is something that I've kind of stole from the Victory Garden program, which has an interesting history. Victory Gardens actually became popular in Canada in 1917, and under the Minister of Agriculture's campaign, A Vegetable Garden for Every Home, residents of cities, towns, and villages utilized backyard spaces to plant vegetables for personal use and war efforts. Now, in the United States, in March 1917, Charles Lathrop Pack organized the U.S. National War Garden Commission and launched the War Garden Campaign. Food production had fallen dramatically during World War I, especially in Europe, where agricultural labor had been recruited into military service and remaining farms devastated by the conflict. Pack and others conceived of the idea that the supply of food could be greatly increased without the use of land and manpower already engaged in agriculture, and without the significant use of transportation facilities needed for the war effort. The campaign promoted the cultivation of available private and public lands, resulting in over 5 million gardens in the U.S. and foodstuff production exceeding $1.2 billion by the end of the war. That is unprecedented, right? It's incredible. Now, in this day and age, when we're so much of our agriculture land is being bought up by evil people, I don't know how else to say it, the Chinese are wicked. If you're Chinese and you take offense to that, then quit the CCP and become American and quit calling yourself Chinese, because you're not. But the Chinese are wicked, and they're all about trying to control. And right now, the effort right now is to starve out America. That is the goal. In fact, I think it was Indonesia announced today that they're already having a food shortage right now, which is, it's just beginning. We're going to see this over the next couple of years. It's going to be pretty ugly. So you've got also got the Gates Consortium, which, and that includes all the cabal nasties that have been buying up agriculture land, and they're getting farmers not to produce, or they're putting land into fallow. So you're not going to see the normal productions. And, you know, I mentioned this thing in California they did. The environmentalists, which are another name for dirtbag communists, they arranged to have one of the major dams drained into the ocean, the fresh water drained into the ocean, which now depleted all of the water that many of the farmers in Central California needed to grow their crops. The prediction is coming from farmers that we could see the majority of those crops, which are not just simple crops. Many of these are the fruit trees and the avocado trees and this sort of thing. Many of them may die, including almonds and walnuts, by the way. So kind of essential nutrients, many of those may die by next spring if they don't find a way around the water issue, which I don't know that they will, not with this current evil that's in power. So you're seeing this all over. And I can tell you that, you know, driving through America in the last to and from Bard's Fest, I saw a couple of things. You definitely see that agriculture is alive and well, which is good. But you also see an amazing amount of land that's just in fallow. Now, I can't speak for why on that. Sometimes farmers rotate crops, put fields in fallow. That's cool. But that was kind of an interesting thing. However, I will say that in the one spark of good hope for that is that the smaller towns where a lot of these smaller agriculture processes are going, not the huge corporate mega farms, there is an amazing amount of agriculture business going on. And one of those indicators is that in small towns, and I'm talking towns of like 1,200 people, right, that are all agriculture towns, you drive by the, and I took time to drive off the freeway and go into some of these towns, the John Deere dealerships are full of new tractors and new harvesters and things, and it's encouraging to see that. And I just spoke with somebody here locally who was my banker and is now going over to a farm credit group here locally. And this is in Oregon, because we're not known for our mega agriculture. But she said that the agriculture business is booming right now. So these are good indications. But I'm going to tell you what the big difference is. It's small holdings and local purchases, not the corporate farms. That's what's going to make the difference. So when we talk about Patriot Gardens, we're talking about re-empowering ourselves with some control over our food. And you know that I've talked about this before, and I'm very passionate about this, because you have no excuse where you live. One of the common things is, well, I live in an apartment, I don't have a garden. You have an ability to grow in any place you're at, okay? If you have no balcony and you're in a condo or an apartment, you can grow on your countertop, you can grow sprouts, which are high in protein and high in nutrients, and you can have fresh greens, basically, through different types of sprouts that you grow. And you can even include sprouts in baked bread, which is sprouted bread. You can do all of that. And at a very minimum, have that sort of fresh nutrient base in your body, which is critical because that's your temple. And you can be cycling through that about every 3 weeks. It's a really great process and something I'll be doing this winter. I haven't done it for a long time, but I'll be doing it this winter. If you have a balcony and you're in an apartment, you can container pot grow. So you can grow some tomatoes, you can definitely grow some herbs, and you can probably grow a few little other things that are out there. I know I've seen people grow beans. I've seen people do a lot of very interesting container growing. Container gardening is a different art. When I say that, it takes its own knowledge. So all of the things about gardening is not a fast science. For those that are thinking, for example, when you think about the food supply and you say, oh, you know, well, once we get Biden out and if we got Trump back in, everything's going to be okay. Not true. So let me kind of give you some real times just to kind of put this in perspective. if you put a field in fallow, it's going to take 2 to 3 seasons before that field is fully productive again. Could be, depending on how they do it, it could be as little as 1, typically 2, and often 3. If you've depleted your agriculture down, to re-energize that supply, it's going to take at least 2 seasons. So what does 2 seasons account for? Well, depending on when you get a green light to grow, that could be as much as 8 months. So you can start to see what's happening here is that you start to wane back on production. And another thing that this this hand puppet administration of China is doing right now is they're trying to use OSHA to shut down farmers by telling them that they can't work on the farms if it's over 80 degrees. I want you to think about that if you're in the central part of the country or in the south where you have a lot of productions, whether it's chicken or cattle or small dairy, they're telling them they can't work past 80 degrees. So this is the nonsense that's going on, and they're doing everything they can to try to create a food scarcity. Our farmers want to work. Our farmers love to feed America. That's part of who they are. The corporate model is disgusting. That's the Bill Gates concept. And hey, Bill, if you're listening, I'm the day that they put the rope around your neck, I'm going to be on the front row taking a picture, and I'm going to be giving you the thumbs up because you're an asshole. But besides that, we are literally in a place right now that we have to start really taking advantage of what we have around us to start preparing for this crisis, because it's going to happen. I mean, it's really how long it lasts is going to be dependent upon us and how willfully we are going to be dependent upon a corporate system. But the most immediate way forward are the different aspects of Patriot Gardening. Now, Patriot Gardening can take many forms, okay? So my focus right now is on high-intensity agriculture concepts that were pioneered by John Jevons, and that's Bountiful Gardens. You can still find his book, How to Grow More Vegetables. It's a massive title, but it's a brilliant book, and I use it regularly. That is a lot about dense planting of crops. So typically in a garden, we do a lot of row cropping. People do that. It's very traditional. And what John Jevons did is they worked and built a lot of science around how close you can put plants and stagger plant them so you can get 2-3 times the amount of plants in the same space. And it also does another thing, because as it grows, the plants' leaves overlap and create their own shade to minimize the amount of water. And I use a lot of different techniques. I definitely use a raised bed concept, a double dug bed idea, so that your tilth that you're digging down about 24 inches, which is much deeper than, say, a rototiller, and it's creating an easy way for the roots to move through. Developing beds like that takes really good tilth in beds, takes probably 2 to 3 years of work, but it's real well worth it. It allows for a better saturation of water when it goes in. And in each of these beds, I also have set up to where we have shade netting for each one of those. So in the heat of the summer with shade netting, we can continue to see plants grow and prosper. So there's a lot of different techniques. I'm not going to get into all the techniques, but it's kind of giving you a perspective. But the concept of Patriot Gardens is not new, and it's a very empowering thing. What happened is that really during World War II, by May 1943, the Patriot Garden program had expanded to over 18 million Victory Gardens, which accounted, which were in 12 million in cities and 6 million in farms. The amount of food that they grew was stunning. Fruit and vegetables harvested in the homes with Victory Gardens and community plots was estimated to be between 9 and 10 million short tons in 1944, which was almost equivalent to what the national harvest was. So the ability for us to grow food within our backyards, again, my number one motto, kill your lawn, grow a garden. We have to get past the idea of this cosmetic nonsense within our homes. And this also links into the final pillar, which is the 7th pillar called stewardship and conservation, which we'll talk about here at the end of this. That'll be the last show in this series. But the concept here that we're dealing with is responsibility for our homes and stewardship. Like I said, whether you're in an apartment or whether you're in a home with a small backyard or whether you're on a small plot of land or even a small farm, it should be our objective to grow as much food as we can for our life and to ensure that we remain healthy and what we're putting in our bodies is not dictated by the corporate farm. Let me give you an example of something that we take for granted and you rediscover when you start growing your own food, and it's tomatoes. If you go out to the store right now and you buy a bunch of tomatoes, there's going to be one thing that happens, and let's say you make a tomato salad, okay, and you have a tomato salad a couple nights in a row. I will almost guarantee you that every person at one point or another will have acid sores in their lips or get an indigestion from acid from tomatoes bought at the store. And why is that? Because what you don't realize is that the tomatoes have been genetically altered. They have been genetically altered to enhance the acidic level so that they last longer on the shelf and are better preserved during transportation. When you grow your own tomatoes, you discover something really amazing. Like, you could eat 50 tomatoes and you're never going to get an acid sore in your mouth or in your gut because the acid levels are normal. So again, that's a critical issue on growing is health for our bodies. Now, the other thing you have to be aware of when you are, as most of any gardener knows or should know, is you really should try to buy seeds that are not hybrided. Okay, so heirloom seeds is what I prefer. I try to always find heirloom seeds that are non-treated. I find my sources, and you can usually find good seed banks that are local in your region that will have a lot of really cool vegetables that you would never find, or varieties that you will never find in the store that you can buy from them. And a good seed bank, their germination rate is going to be phenomenal. So I would, again, really recommend that you explore this in a big way, because it's an opportunity not only to get away from the dependency on the corporate food process, which is not designed for human health. It's designed for commercial production, longevity on the shelf, and health is on the bottom of the list, which leads to an innumerable number of dietary and physical problems. So in kind of the bigger piece about everything that we're fighting for these days, it's our health and survival as humanity. And that obviously in pillar one, that rock that we're standing on is our faith. That's number one. And pillar two, which is homeschooling, we're trying to ensure the security and continued expansion in leadership and mental capacity of our children and keeping them safe. So that's two. Number three, Patriot Gardens, right? And Patriot Gardens is where we're taking accountability and responsibility for our food. And that's a process, too, that if you're homeschooling or you have children in your neighborhood, you can include them in the process to teach them about food and health. And we can start to, whether in a small space, like countertop growing or container growing, or whether in a small backyard space or whether in a small farm, as we get better at choosing our crops and rotating our crops, we can create a very healthy dietary foundation from what we grow in our own homes. And the other great part about gardening is we always have excess. So what do you do with the excess? Well, first thing, I always do is we preserve it in one way or another. Freeze it, dry it. I don't do a lot of canning. I know people do a lot of canning. I'm just not a canning guy. But I like to dehydrate, dry, dry stuff and store it, or freeze it. And that's a really good process right there. So, and then there's other dry storage methods like potatoes, squash, carrots, onions. There's ways to dry store them very easily if you have a dark and cool spaces to do that. And it's not hard to create those. You can use a closet, you can use a basement space, etc. So these are kind of old methods that we're reviving in this hyper-tech world that we're kind of in. And it's all about ultimately providing more and more to the table that we're growing and controlling and keeping ourselves away from the monster of the corporate beast. With that is also the process of ensuring diversity within the plant base as we go with heirloom seeds and untreated seeds. And then as we save those seeds ourselves, we're taking the responsibility to ensure the longevity of those plants. So the initial outlays of gardens can be a little costly depending on what you're doing. But as you get better, as you save your own seeds, as your soil gets better, you're part of that cycle every season, you're going to find that all of these things come together and it becomes just a process of your life. Each one of these steps in the seven pillars takes a life change, takes a life pattern change and a commitment. But everything in the end of the day is about our sovereignty and about our freedom and about being able to step away from the controls at different levels of what corporate puts on our life. And that's very critical because we're not going to be able to fight back if every single time we start to do something and they say, oh, I'm going to cut your food supply, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, or I'm going to cut your medical access. And that's the word I got today is that they're now floating the idea of severing veterans from hospital access unless they take the vax. So you have to move away from all of this. And each one of these steps in county by county is positioned to empower every home to do just that and to become a much more sovereign entity. So Patriot Gardens is a critical component. And as you link that within a community and you start to say, you know, one garden's growing this and another garden's over here, and you start to link the families together, pretty soon you start to find that there's an ability as well to share and to come in as a community to start helping each other. And that's a big piece. The more that we grow in our homes, in our urban environments, as well as the rural, that part of that process is ensuring that we're moving more and more away from the dependency on the grocery store and that corporate supply chain. Now, with Patriot Gardens also becomes the awareness of health, which then leads us to yet another aspect of that, which is buying local. So I kind of lump this into Patriot Gardens because Patriot Gardens is that entry step and what I consider to be the responsibility of every single American. I don't think anybody's excluded from the responsibility of growing their own food to some degree. But as well, taking that a step further is the idea to get into the local areas and start buying locally, sourcing your milk, sourcing your eggs, sourcing your meat locally as much as possible. The milk can be difficult, eggs not so much, but you just have to continue to look and find. Like in my area, goat milk is common, cow milk is not. Okay, I'm not a big goat milk fan, but we, you know, things can be, we can adjust as needed. But there's, in my local area, I can find everything from goat to sheep to cattle to beef to chicken, and even in certain areas a little bit up north, buffalo, as just types of meat that are available. And there's even a couple places that commercially grow elk and other meats like that. And that doesn't even include hunting and fishing, which is local. Another aspect to Patriot Gardens, which is important, is aquaculture. Now, that is the growing of fish in your backyard. There are some interesting continued experiments going on to bring those costs down and enhance that. And that is, I'm not a real knowledgeable on that topic. I've done some research. It's a fascinating concept that I'm still keeping a lot of attention on because within a small space, you can grow a number like 20, 30 pounds of fish a year or more, and that can be enough to supplement your proteins for a good part of the year. So again, the potential for Patriot Gardening is massive. The technologies are here. They're not high tech. We're dealing with kind of low tech type technologies, pumps, hoses. When you get into aquaculture, you're getting into just manual type labor of digging and planting and setting up the spaces in your backyard or your home to be able to propagate the seeds and then get them into the garden space. And then, of course, we have the issue of water, and that's always a challenging one. In my home, we installed 1,000 gallons worth of water storage, which is not enough for a full garden, but enough to keep some things going. And we're looking at how to enhance water reclamation as it rains. But even in Oregon, they've tried to say that the rainwater's the state owns, which is nonsense, but they've tried to do it. So you can see that the cabal is always going to try to fight back and find ways to try to cut the legs underneath you. And that is, again, as we close out this series, we'll talk a lot about stewardship and conservation as ways to enhance everything that we're doing in the county by county model. So we should all be seeking to become food independent, meaning independent of corporate world, as much as possible. And if we add to that buying local, we should be able to start seeing a tremendous shift away from the corporate world and ultimately encourage and foster the local growers and local farmers that can augment what we're growing in our homes so that we're not dependent at all upon the big corporate agriculture. The corporate model of agriculture, again, outside of the big things like grains, and I say that because that's what a lot of that does. When you start to get into the visions of Gates, where they want to control your food intake, and you start listening to what, like Klaus Schwab, that Nazi skinhead, is saying, they're advocating now for a new digital currency that will not only track your purchases, but determine if your purchases are carbon safe. So it'll be the first time in economic history to where if you exceed a certain amount of purchases that they consider to be carbon unsafe, which means good for you, bad for them, they're going to cut off your ability to sell or ability to buy. So this is all about, you know, global enslavement and trying to channel everybody into a specific diet, which always includes bugs, by the way. If you read their stuff, they want to encourage you to eat crickets and grasshoppers and roaches and spiders and whatever else they can grow in a lab. It's nasty. I mean, their whole idea is to demean humanity to such a level and to bring them down to such a level that they are nothing more than just cattle, and they have the mind of an imp. And actually, for those that took the injection, they're getting pretty close anyway, so they're not too far off. Take another couple injections and you'll see it happen. So the empowerment part of this is huge, and I just can't understate this or overstate this enough, because getting back in control of what you put in your body, taking that initiative to take some effort to grow your own food, Sit putting that lifestyle into your life to where you're literally making an effort to make sure that something that you grow, no matter how small or how big, is going to supplement your diet. And that's going to become a critical process of your health. You're starting the foundations of keeping the temple strong. And that's what we need as we move forward. The spiritual temple, we talked about that. The knowledge temple, that's part of homeschooling and part of all this process as well as we learn more. The nutritional temple, part as well of growing your own stuff, is becoming aware of natural health remedies. And I'm going to kind of close with this. So I'm in the process right now of building my library back again of herbalism, which I studied a lot in the 90s. And when you start to look at what you can grow, Here's a simple example. If you had a small space in gardening and you're trying to create a small space homestead, so to speak, where you're growing most of your own food, I'll bet most people don't realize that one of the most nutritious packed herbs that you can grow and eat in every meal, and depending on how you prep it, is parsley. Parsley is packed with vitamins and nutrients. It's one of the most highly dense vitamin and nutrient products that we can grow. And it's powerful. So when you start to build an herb garden, you're also building an herb garden for medicinal purposes as well. So you have fresh herbs available to deal with the normal things to enhance your immune system. I think I mentioned this in a previous show, but one of the teas that I used to take, and I'm actually reviving this knowledge again, was eucalyptus leaf, dried thyme, organic, but dried thyme, and elderberries and dried orange peel. When you put that together, and I have testimonies to how powerful this is, including curing chronic bronchitis, all of those things work together. Eucalyptus is an antimicrobial. Thyme is an expectorant, so it tends to bring things out. Elderberry helps build the immune system up, and the dried orange leaf helps, again, for immune system boosting. When you drink that tea, and I was drinking that tea 3 times a day, not a favorite flavor at first, you get used to it. But again, all of those things are natural, and they're part of enhancing the immune system as we head into winter season or as we come out. And all of many things, especially when you start to understand what you can grow in your climate, you can grow many of the herbs that you need to ensure your own health. So again, that's tying in with what? Pillar number 5, which is health and welfare, which again, we'll talk about on Monday night. So everything about this integrated model with county by county is empowering ourselves to maintain and enhance our spiritual health, expand our knowledge, and ensure our longevity as humanity, non-dependent on the corporate world. And as we expand out these efforts like Patriot Gardens, and as we get better as gardeners, being a good gardener, by the way, is said to take about 5 years if you've never gardened before. So it takes time. But that patience and that diligence every year, those are legacy skills you pass on to your children. And they're ensuring that sort of longevity of things that we need to never be 100% dependent like we are right now, which takes away our vulnerabilities. It ensures that corporations can't encroach on our lives again. And it limits the overreach of government by virtue of using their corporate partners. All of the things that we're witnessing right now. So the independent side of this is critical. And it's critical and it's foundational to how the Declaration of Independence was written and how our Constitution was envisioned by our founding fathers. Again, that responsibility rests on us. These are decisions you have to make, but to not make the decision to go this way, you're not, in my opinion, you're not being part of one of the most radical and powerful movements we can do. So while we hear that we also want to seek justice, and while there's many that would love to see the rise of the 2A revolt, let me put this whole thing in perspective. There is no more radical event that you can do than to stop buying. Hear me again. There is not a more radical action you can take than to stop buying. If you stop buying and stop paying taxes, within a year, this system absolutely implodes. Done. It's over. And probably sooner. And by the way, that's something we'll talk about in the spring, that we need to get a movement going that everybody needs to file an extension so there's no money coming into the government. That's legal, by the way. You can file too, legally too. But we'll get there. So this idea about how I've constructed county by county based on my own experience in counterinsurgency in Afghanistan, this idea of the sovereign home is at its core a radical movement to destroy corporate capitalism and just destroy the corporatocracy that's before us. Not that every home accomplishes that, but unified together, the efforts so cripple it that there is no way that it can continue to function the way it is. And that's the 7 pillars by design, that they're interlaced and they're designed specifically to empower each American, to empower each home, to build community that is non-dependent on corporate relationships, to focus on local business, local consumption, and small business, unattached and unaffiliated with the corporate beast, and over a process of time, reclaim this nation county by county by re-empowering every single home and denying corporate the ability to try to deny your freedom. That's the whole concept of county by county, and central to that is our food. And they know it, and that's why they're trying to ramp up a food shortage, because they can't take away the guns, but they feel that they can starve out America. They're not going to succeed. I've said this before. If you have not prepped for 3 to 4 months in your house, don't waste time. Get busy. Okay, and not everybody, I always hear this, I don't have the means. Beans and rice as a foundation, dried beans and rice, you can live off of for a long time. And it does not cost a lot to set that up in your home. So as long as you have some food security, they cannot threaten you. And that's a big one. They can't, if they just try to deny you access through passport IDs or vax IDs and say you can't shop, you're not going to be left high and dry because you're going to have food. I mean, you obviously know that this is a threat because Facebook has been targeting those that have been encouraging people to prep. So when you start to hear that, they're afraid that people are going to be able to circumvent their threat of food shortages. The only place to be really afraid is if you live in the city, because I'm going to tell you right now, cities are going to become war zones and nightmares, because once this system implodes, it's not a question of if, it's a matter of when, and that EBT free money card for your food stops working and shelves start to clear out. There's not going to be anywhere else for these people to go except to ravage each other. That's going to be in the cities. There's one last little experience I had that'll kind of put, what kind of keeps my focus always on the importance of maintaining food in the home, supplies in the home for at least 6 months, and growing your own food. So I lived in New Jersey for a little while I was working on government contracts. And the previous winter, they'd had a very bad winter. So another storm was rolling in. It wasn't that significant, but people were panicked like they always do. People freak out. And thanks to our weathermen, which are a bunch of dirtbags half the time, trying to fan the flames of fear, people freak out. So I wasn't paying any attention to this. I went over to the store to get a couple things, some water, and I don't know what else I was going to get. And I walked in, and I had never seen anything like this. This was a large supermarket. And every shelf was empty. And if it wasn't, what was left there was just things people wouldn't normally eat. And people's shopping carts were like, they would have like two shopping carts mounded up. This all happened in a matter of hours of the announcement of the storm. And as I walked through, I just turned the whole event into just an observation event. I just walked down aisles and watched people's behavior. And people were literally, even if you could tell they hated it, they'd look at it and they kind of make a face and they'd still throw it in their cart because they just were panicked that they weren't going to have food. This was like the toilet paper, run on toilet paper that we had that when people went crazy over COVID, but times 100. Now, stores don't have more than about a day's worth of supplies if they get hit hard in the actual store. And the warehouses don't have more than 7 days. And usually when they get hit that hard, it's about three. So all of this comes down to some very common sense prepping. You have the food that you need for the short term, but you have to be thinking in the long term of what can you do and what do you put in place to ensure that you're going to be able to work through that process, grow a garden, grow sprouts on the counter, those sorts of things. All of those things take time. Sprouts is one of the fastest. But gardens it'll take you 2 to 3 months to get if everything goes right. So it isn't something suddenly going to solve all your problems with a garden, but it's part of a process of maintaining your freedom and independence. And as you know that you have that in place and you're building that experience and you've supplemented that with your emergency supplies, and as communities come together rather than tearing each other apart, which those of faith will do, we're in good shape and we'll weather the storm. And we'll weather the storm together and we'll be stronger for it. But the key is to start now, take the initiative, and start identifying in your home how and where, if you haven't already, how and where you're going to grow things and get busy. And I mean, don't waste time. This is no time anymore to waste. You're like sitting and looking at the damn columns coming at you in the war. And if you haven't already like armored yourself up and prepped, you better get busy. There's no joke about where we're at. The storm is there. It's moving through us now, and it's only going to get more intense. And the critical part about all of this is developing the skills, building up your libraries, getting your seed inventories, getting all these things in place, and getting the skills going now to ensure that when you weather through that worst period, that you're going to be able to start getting engaged with growing some of your own food. It's going to be critical, because once that storm hits and that food supply drops, it's not coming back quickly. Supply chains are going to break. Companies are going to go bankrupt. And it's going to be dependent again upon people, real people, awake patriots, taking the initiative to start growing some of their own food, even though it won't be 100% in your own backyard, but working together to overcome this. That's the beauty of where we are in this enhanced building of community with motive and spiritual center. But it isn't going to happen unless you take the initiative. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We've come together each and every day to talk deeply and reflect deeply on the accountability and responsibilities we have in this world. Lord, we openly admit that we have become lazy as a people, that we have forsaken much of our own accountability and responsibility for the ease of and convenience of the worship of money and the dependence upon others doing the work for us, specifically the growing of food. And so, Lord, as we grow our food and we move towards breaking bread with one another, we pray truly for your strength and vision and the clarity of the things that we can do in our lives, the motivation to find new ways to innovate and to address our food needs, not just for ourselves, but for our community, and to build that up so that we are there for one another, to truly work as your children, to weather this storm and to ensure that we come out of this okay. So we say these things in your glory. We say these things with all of the grace and humility that we are now here before you, knowing that we can endure this with your strength and love. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So a lot of work ahead, Patriots. Even if you're gardening, you know it's a lot of work. And I've got it like, I was gone. Bard's Fest, 3 weeks gone. And then I've been down for, you know, like another week after I got back and slowly getting back this week. So, you know, the work I have to do in the garden the next 3 days is immense. It was taken care of while I was away. My parents did that. That was great. But now it's time to like get the winter garden, which I'm a little bit late. I'm about a month late on the winter garden, but I'll get there. And you can too. That's my point. So just drive on. As we say, never bow to evil, never relent, always press into the fight. This is a glorious time to be alive if we take the initiative and realize what's before us. But it doesn't mean glorious equals easy or enjoyable. Glorious is an amazing moment to reclaim our freedom, our spiritual strength. And that's what we're doing. And so much of that centers around us taking control back into our lives. So keep your prayers up and our faith strong. Remember, God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God will win. But our role in all of this is so significant because it's through us that God works. And as we get involved in our world and take responsibility, our actions, if we focus within our homes, in our local spaces, those actions as one are like a small pebble. As many, it's like a tsunami. And we literally can topple this world by making a choice to be independent within our homes. So I hope you have a blessed evening. I'll see you this evening for those that are still around for Fishers of Men. That's at 9 p.m. Pacific. Until then, or until the next time, God bless and out for now.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
Every thoughtful citizen who despairs of war and wishes to bring peace should begin by looking inward, by examining his own attitude towards the possibilities of peace. Too many of us think it is impossible. Too many think it is unreal. But that is a dangerous, defeatist belief. It leads to the conclusion that war is inevitable, that mankind is doomed, that we are gripped by forces we cannot control. We need not accept that view. Our problems are man-made, therefore they can be solved by man, and man can be as big as he wants. No problem of human destiny is beyond human beings. Man's reason and spirit have often solved the seemingly unsolvable, and we believe they can do it again.
Surely the opening vistas of space promise high costs and hardships, as well as high reward. So it is not surprising that some would have us stay where we are a little longer, to rest, to wait. But this city of Houston, this state of Texas,
This country of the United States was not built by those who waited and rested and wished to look behind them. This country was conquered by those who move forward, and so will space. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept.
The energy, the faith, the devotion which we bring to this endeavor will light our country and all who serve it. And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Thousands of years to show its face. It has only one intent, to destroy God's light and to enslave. It has no scruples. It has no rules but one, to win at any cost. But we will never bow, for we are the remnant that will hold the line. This is war. We fight. Push. We climb. We never give in. We become the nightmare that evil didn't know could exist. We pray. We stand. We live by the words, "In God we trust." We fear nothing. We are the light that can never be extinguished. We are patriots. We are the digital army that will help deliver God's wrath.